You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Holy Week, and today we get to continue our Meet the Council of Presidents series with the President and Bishop of the English District.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Jeffrey Miskus. He's President and Bishop of the English District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Miskus, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be here with you.
We are excited to get to share your story with our listeners as we get to know you today. And part of the series, a key part, is the lightning round.
Yes.
Gives us a chance to get to know a little bit about you. So we ask rapid-fire questions about your favorite things. Let's start off with your favorite color.
Blue is my favorite color.
Okay. Favorite cuisine?
I'm going to have to go with chicken wings.
All right.
Pizza, close second.
All right. Favorite book. And we know that you love the Bible. We know that you love the Lutheran Confessions.
Right.
So if you want to add to that list.
So without a doubt, my favorite book is The Silmarillion, which is edited by Christopher Tolkien. And most of it is written by J.R.R. Tolkien. It is essentially the precursor to The Lord of the Rings. It's all the back history. It's got a beautiful creation narrative in it, by the way. It's really, really cool if you've never read it. And I have to tell you that Tolkien takes no prisoners when he writes this. And so you're constantly referring to maps and the elven language dialogue at the back of the book. So yes, I've read it about 4 times and I've loved it every single time.
You'd get along well with my husband. That's what I got him for Christmas.
So good. So good.
Okay, favorite office supply. This is very important.
I would have to say the my wife's business's pens, because they have this beautiful turquoise gel that I just love the way it writes, and she gets mad at me when I take them and don't give them back. So the turquoise gel pen.
That's so funny.
So if we get a note in turquoise gel pen, gel
know
ink,
who it's
then
from.
You know who it's from.
Now I really want to try one of these.
All right, favorite dessert.
That would probably be a chocolate chip cookie with ice cream and apple crisp coming in on a close second.
Good stuff. All right, favorite vacation destination.
So Mexico is where I always go, but that's kind of like what we do every year. But the most favorite vacation I've ever had, just can't go there all the time, is Austria. We did, my wife and I with some friends and our daughter did a bike tour in Austria from Salzburg to Innsbruck. And it's through a river valley that is surrounded by the mountains. And you go about 30 miles a day. And we did it self-directed. Absolutely. If you ever get a chance to go to Austria, do it. And if you ever get a chance to do a bike tour there, do it. It's absolutely amazing. You can stop at these little towns in the middle of nowhere while you're on your bikes, surrounded by the mountains. Every little town has a home with a beer garden, and the food is phenomenal. The people are wonderful. It's just every single mile that you go is a new vista of mountains to adore and look at. And the mountains are very approachable in Austria as mm-hmm. well. They're not, they're sort of not like the Canadian Rockies where they're imposing. And if you go there and you get too close, you die. they're very inviting and green, and they've got cattle roaming all over them. And it's wonderful.
This is like asking your favorite child, favorite hymn.
Favorite hymn would be during Lent is My Song is Love Unknown. Mm-hmm. And during the rest of the year, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Both excellent choices.
Thank you.
And last one, favorite time of day.
So I'm going to say it depends on the day, but Saturday, I usually take Saturday off. And my favorite time of the day is when I get up and I'm there having me and my wife have coffee in front of our front window with our little coffee nook and the sunshine coming in the front window and our feet are up on a little stool and we're just sipping and talking and the whole day is in front of us to do, well, for me to do my honey-do list.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. So right across from Detroit, Michigan, border city.
Definitely one of my favorite areas of the country, for sure. Tell us about your time growing up, what childhood was like in Canada, and eventually we'll get to your path to seminary too.
All right. So growing up in Canada, now you got to understand Windsor's a border city. Mm-hmm. And so it's really impacted by, for instance, when we watched television, it was all the U.S. channels, ABC, NBC, CBS. You know, I'm showing my age back then, but that's what it was. We had tons of channels. And so we were influenced by American culture quite a bit. However, Canadian culture, you know, CBC and everything like that, the news, the French channels, all that. I grew up there in Canada. My dad was a general supervisor at General Motors. My mom was a nurse. And we grew up in a little subdivision called Forest Glade, where we bought a home there and lived there most of my childhood. And it was just like it was, Forest Glade. It's just like it sounded. It had these, instead of building houses throughout the whole thing, they left areas where there were forests. And you could actually, 5 doors down from my house, you could walk into a forest. And it was great because me and my friends, we would go there and have a blast. And there was a great big hill beside the forest that we had, which we tobogganed down all the time. And we would play street hockey out in front of the house with our nets and everything like that. And even in the snow and the ice, we'd come in with our jeans would be frozen solid. And we didn't care. We were playing hockey out front of the house, just having a blast. So that was pretty much me growing up all the time in Windsor, Ontario. And until I got into high school when I got into some sports, and then my life became a little bit more organized. It wasn't as much going out and playing hockey on the street as it was school and the sports teams that I love to be on.
Tell us about the path to seminary.
Path to seminary for me was, I always knew from the time I was really small, I used to look up, I used to hear the pastor chanting the liturgy, and I loved it. And I loved being in church, and I loved worshiping God. I'm a cradle Lutheran, baptized most of my life, English district congregations in Windsor, by the way, two of them. Yeah, I knew from the time I was really little that I was going to be a pastor. I even tried writing some sermons and then realized how hard that was when you don't really know anything. And then when I went into being a teenager, the thought of being a pastor was all of a sudden, I just thought, no, I can't be a pastor. Don't deserve to do this, and pretty much going to show God that he doesn't want me for this. However, I was still teaching Sunday school and part of our youth group and everything like that, and really loved doing it. Later on, in my late teens, I went into university and I was studying to be a teacher, and I met my wife, who, by the way, also, this is interesting, my wife went to the other Missouri Synod English District Church in Windsor, Gethsemane Lutheran Church. I went to Peace Lutheran Church. Do you know we never met each other in church, ever?
That's wild.
It's wild. It's crazy. We meet each other at secular university. I went to the University of Windsor. We meet each other there through common friends. Anyhow, we start dating and everything like that, and get engaged. And my life is going quite well. I'm going to be a teacher. You know, she's in the business school, and I'm miserable. And my parents just took me aside and said, "Look, everything's. You got a great girl. You're engaged. Going into teacher's college, everything's going well. Why are you so miserable?" And I thought about it, and I said, because I really want to teach what I'm teaching in Sunday school, and they certainly aren't going to let me do that in the public school system. And I just feel very conflicted. And they said, "Well, it sounds like you want to go to seminary and be a pastor." And I tell you, I still remember the day. I still remember the time they said it. I still remember we were sitting in our living room downstairs in front of the television, and I still remember the scales kind of falling from my eyes and thinking, oh, that's right. That's what I was always supposed to do. And I literally went back to university, changed my major. I got my undergrad in psychology over the summer and intersessions, and went to Fort Wayne Seminary that fall. And I think my parents thought, he is going to be coming back in like 2 weeks. Like, I think they thought this is weak, because I never told anyone, right? Like, I mean, never told anyone. And And the other side of it was I was also engaged. And so I went to Fort Wayne and I had to leave my wife back in Windsor. Well, she wasn't my wife at the time. She was my fiance. But so, you know, they thought, wow, he's leaving his fiance. He's going off to seminary. We give this about 2 weeks. Thanks be to God that the good Lord saw me through and I did not come back. I loved every single minute of it.
What was that seminary journey like for you?
So my first year in seminary was absolutely fantastic. I had fall Greek. And ironically, this is crazy. Listen to this. I sat beside, in fall Greek, this skinny tall guy by the name of Rick Stuckwish. And him and I sat together and Rick actually showed me what a smart person really is, because I might have gotten 90 on every quiz. He got over 100 on every quiz. He was so smart, just a brilliant man. Anyways, so there he is, and he and I go through fall Greek together. Who do you think I sit beside right now on the Council of Presidents, in right beside Rick Stuckwish? I was blown away. It was just, we're old friends again and good chums. But I spent that year at Fort Wayne, really enjoyed it, started a glee club there. Dr. Yudish sponsored us. We would go to whatever evening service they had, and then I would roll out a keg of beer and we'd go into the common room and we'd sing Latin, German, English songs. We called ourselves Fraternitas Gaudi. It was a lot of fun. And God bless Pastor David Rutter. He's now in my, he was in my district. He's now in Michigan district, I think. But he played piano for us so well into the night. I mean, you have no idea. This poor guy, he played piano for us. And we would sing and just have a wonderful time together. So Fort Wayne was a beautiful thing. Unfortunately, I had to transfer from Fort Wayne to St. Catharines. My wife and I are both Canadian. And at the time, we couldn't work and earn money in the United States. And so I was devastated. I thought, we got married in the summer after my first year. And thankfully, I visited St. Catharines Seminary and was comforted by the profs there, who often switched with the Fort Wayne profs back and forth. And I found the same teachings there that I found at Fort Wayne and was extremely relieved, happy, and giving thanks and praise to God. So I ended up actually spending the next years of my seminary career in St. Catharines. And that's my, until I got certified and graduated from there.
We're talking with the Reverend Jeffrey Miskus. He's president and bishop of the English District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are getting to know the Council of Presidents. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are getting to know the Council of Presidents today. We're talking with the Reverend Jeffrey Miskus. He's president and bishop of the English District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, Pastor Miskus, you are president and bishop of the English District.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if listeners have been listening to our conversations, assuming that most districts have some sort of geographic association, where is English? Are you in England?
Where's the English district? So English district is what you call a non-geographic district. We are located in 22 U.S. states and one lonely Canadian province of Ontario. So we are actually an international district. And the reason why we're spread out everywhere is because the English district used to be the English Synod, something that some people really don't know, but it's the truth. We used to be a synod, and we were the synod that essentially our motto was the theology of the fathers in the language of the children. And so, whereas the Missouri Synod, when it started out, was speaking German, and most people know that history, the English district realized that the kids in North America weren't growing up speaking the language of their parents, and that was going to be an issue mission-wise. And so the English district was started, and the English Synod was started. Interestingly enough, we came to the Missouri Synod a number of times and said, hey, you know, we have the same theology as you guys. We, you know, we ascribe to the Book of Concord, and, you know, we'd like to join. And in two successive conventions, the Missouri Synod said, no, thank you. And so it took three, but three was the charm. And they finally embraced the English Synod, and we became the first non-geographic district, the English district of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and have lived happily ever after in the Missouri Synod. Very thankful that we are a part of it.
So what are your duties as the district president and bishop of the English district?
So, I mean, my duties are largely visiting duties. I visit, it's my calling to visit the congregations and the pastors of the English district. So I am on the road every single week. I'm in the office. I'm in the actual district. So our district office is located in Farmington Hills, Michigan, so that you can get a location. That's where I am sitting right now. But I'm only in this office maybe 1 or 2 days a week. I am out visiting churches regularly throughout the week. And it's usually a drive. If it's within 5 hours, I'll drive my car and visit the churches and that type of thing. If it's over 5 hours, I'm usually flying. And so I kind of make the joke that McNamara Terminal at the Detroit Airport is my second office. I set up my computer there. I answer emails. I take phone calls and everything like that. I have to tell you, that's the greatest part of the calling, is visiting the Bride of Christ, visiting God's church and the pastors and the people. And most of the time, my visits are just wonderful fraternal visits where I come. I might preach the sermon that day, give the pastor a break, or I might conduct the liturgy, which I love to do. Might sit down with the congregational leadership and meet with them. So that's the biggest part of my job, really, is visiting that. And that's how you sort of conduct your spiritual oversight in that regard as well. Then there's a whole bunch of things underneath that that my office sort of does. We serve the congregations is what our district does. And we serve congregations in a number of ways. We partner with them to plant churches. We support those planted churches once they become, you know, official missions of the English district and the Missouri Synod. So we then support those, all the churches kind of giving to support those. We help them with programs from our synod. When a church wants to examine itself and says, maybe it's a growing church, and it says, hey, you know, we need some direction. We're growing. We need this. We need that. We have wonderful programs that our synod has spent incredibly faithful dollars to put together. And we help, we take those programs, and our mission executive, the Reverend Derek Mathers, who I think might have been on one of your shows in the past, was very excited about that. He has studied these programs, has been trained in them, and he'll go to the churches and he'll walk them through these programs so that the churches can examine themselves. Now, these programs of self-examination, they're designed to protect the vital word and sacrament ministry that's the lifeblood of the church, while at the same time helping the church to focus on its ministry and what it's all about. And so we take either a growing congregation through that, or sometimes we take struggling congregations through that. So our ministry to the congregations is pretty vital in that way. We get a lot of requests for that sort of thing. We also help congregations who want to start schools. And if they have schools that are started, well, we have one of the best in the business. Our education executive is Mr. Albert Emling. And I'll tell you how good Albert is at his job and how well-known Lutherans are for starting schools. We get other denominations asking us to come and help them start their schools to help. Now, we can't. We've got 35 schools in the English district. And so Albert's time is used up. He visits every single one every year. And then he also troubleshoots. And he also, thanks to the Bollock Foundation, he is out as well, setting up school associations in a number of places so that schools are helped to develop in those areas. We've got a number of areas around the United States where school associations are being set up so that schools are birthed from the churches that are there. So we're very excited about that. So that I mean, I could talk for a little bit longer on that, but I think I'm going to take a breath here because whenever somebody asks me, what do I do? it's about a half an hour answer. And we actually have a PowerPoint that I'm going to be making up for my congregations. And just because everybody asks the question, and I'm like, boy, this is a mouthful. So yes.
So we've talked about the what of what you do. Let's talk about the why. Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
That's an awesome question to ask, especially with the culture today. There are so many worldviews out there in culture and in society, you know, just so many of them. And people don't know who they are, and they don't understand their identity. And I'm a Lutheran pastor because we have a solid foundation in the Holy Scriptures. I want to tell you something. Our identity rests in our baptism into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our worldview. Our worldview is the gospel of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, and ascended, and ruling His church. And people need to know who they are and how much God loves them and what God has done for them in His Son, Jesus Christ, and that this crazy fallen world is not the end. It's not it. But we have a God who loves us and who has redeemed us and who has an incredible plan for our lives as His bride, the church. And so I am a Lutheran pastor because I get to stand up and speak the word of God to God's people. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing. If you've stood up and you've spoken and you've wielded the sword of the Spirit, and you've watched the hearts and the minds of people come to know Jesus and grow in their faith, it's just an incomparable thing. It's the most wonderful thing I do, and I get to do it, and it's a privilege. It's not a right. It's a privilege. It's an honor. One of the things that I did a while back, I actually memorized Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I just memorized the whole thing. I did it for a Lenten devotional. It really changed my life. It changed the way I saw preaching and teaching. After Lent was over, I had this sermon in my head, and I thought, wow, this is Jesus' sermon. Maybe I should preach it to Jesus' people. So I got up on a Sunday, and I introduced it to the congregation, my congregation back in Mississauga, Ontario. And I preached it to them as though I was Jesus preaching it to them, just straight up. Here you go. Here it is. And they came to me afterwards and said, you have to preach that to us at least once every year. We have to hear it. Now, I didn't preach it every single year, but since that time, I've preached it at seminaries. I've preached it at pastors' conferences. I've preached it at tons of other churches. And I have to tell you, the impact that word of God has on human souls is so profound. And that's why I'm a Lutheran pastor.
It sounds like you find so much joy in what you get to do and being able to tell people about the love of Jesus for them. That is an incredible feat of memory to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. I hope you can preach that here at the IC sometime. That would be very cool. Oh. Before we're out of time, we've got just a couple of minutes left. We do want to unpack just a couple of things from the lightning round at the beginning, because it's always fun to get to know the person behind the district president bishop label. And biking is especially a hobby of mine. And you mentioned bike traveling. So I really want to know if biking is just a regular hobby for you.
No, it's actually not. I exercise regularly, so I'm a bit of a health nut that way. I do calisthenics. I used to run, but my legs don't do that anymore. But I bike every once in a while. I like to kayak. I like to fish. But no, I don't bike regularly. But these particular bike tours, I have to tell you, you don't have to be. You're stopping so many times to take pictures. You don't have to be a regular biker. And they've got levels that you can do. So we did a level 3 in Austria. And We did Italy about 5 years after that. We did a bike tour from, let's see here, it was from Florence to Rome. And I will say that that was a four, and we needed the electric bikes that we had. We needed. But okay. We do. Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned food a couple of times.
Andy's favorite subject.
You mentioned food. And when we talked about cuisine, favorite cuisine, you mentioned wings.
Yes.
Having lived in upstate New York, wings being very popular in upstate New York, particularly Buffalo, New York, does your love for wings have something to do with your proximity to the alleged original home of Buffalo Wings?
So I have gone over to Buffalo, New York when I was in seminary way back when, years ago. And we had wings and beer there in Buffalo. But I will tell you that there is a place in Toronto, Canada called Duff's Wings. And they will rival, I'm not going to say they're better, but they will rival the Buffalo, New York wings. Although I do have to say my favorite is the Buffalo sauce on the wings. I'm not a sweet sauce guy. I am not too hot, but I'm a hot, tangy guy. Yeah.
Reverend Jeffrey Miskus, President and Bishop of the English District, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Buffalo Wing Connoisseur.
There we go.
Pastor Miskus, thanks so much for joining us for this series on the Coffee Hour. It's been a blast.
You're most welcome. It's been my joy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.